If you would this morning take God's Word and go to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16. We're working our way through this book of the Bible in our preaching and also the book of Genesis. Look forward to getting back there. It's been a few weeks. But asking the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning in Matthew chapter number 16. We come in this book, this chapter of God's Word, a transition time in the Lord's ministry. He begins His preparation and preparing His disciples for His coming crucifixion. He moves away from His intense Jewish ministry and begins moving towards Calvary. You know, Calvary is the most tragic day in the history of the world, but it had the most glorious result, salvation full and free to anyone who would accept Christ by faith as Savior. And we see this wonderful insight into the Lord's life and into Peter's life in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. I think you'll find it very familiar if you'll look with me and follow along as we read God's Word this morning. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And a very familiar, famous portion of Scripture. As Peter professes Christ, we find here today an interesting thing in verse number 17 that I'd like to draw our attention to. There are hundreds of messages that could be preached from this portion of Scripture. But I'd like to make this emphasis this morning in verse 17. The Bible says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." You know what? I would really like for the Lord Jesus Christ to look on Cody Sturgill and his life and say, "Blessed art thou, Cody Sturgill." I want the blessing of God. The word blessed is interesting. And as a matter of fact, I was talking to some guys just before I began to preach this morning. I'm going to use the words interchangeably, blessed and blessed. I think it depends on how we're where it in its context. But blessed and blessed for today's message are the same words. But the Bible says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." Jesus Christ, speaking to Peter, said, "This is a man that is blessed." And I want to be that way. The word blessed, by its simple definition, is happy. The word blessed has got the connotation of happy in the Lord. And the Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, you're blessed." As I've considered this and thought about it and studied this portion of Scripture, I think that the Bible gives us some insight into how Simon Barjona, Peter, became blessed and what it was that made the difference. What a great portion of Scripture. Number one, I want you to consider this with me this morning. The pathway to being blessed is found in the life of Peter. And number one, Peter knew who Jesus was. Peter knew who Jesus was. This great portion of Scripture is so fascinating, and it exalts who the Lord is. Let's consider the fact that Peter knew who Jesus was. If we want to be blessed in this life, I want you to know something. You must know who Jesus is. You need to know who Jesus is. Let's look at the Scripture. The Bible begins in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, it's interesting, they've made a transition in their location. I think that the Lord does not waste words in the Bible, and there's a reason that we go to take our attention to Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi is not the center of the Jewish world. Caesarea Philippi actually moves out to a more rural location, and Caesarea Philippi is not a place where the big names in religion were there. And it wasn't a place where there was a constant fight between the Pharisees and the Sadducees and groups of people who had decided, we're right. And then on the other side, they screamed back, no, we're right. And back and forth and back and forth. I want you to know something. There's a lot of foolishness in argument. Lots of foolishness. I remember being a dorm supervisor in a college dorm at Crown College, our Bible college. And constantly in our dorm devotions, I would say this simple statement, dorm room theology will shipwreck your faith. You'd be around a bunch of guys who think they know everything, and they fight and they fuss and they fight and they fuss and they want to fuss about this and they want to fuss about that. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. The Lord wanted to take His people, I believe, out of the argument and out of the flesh. I think He wanted to bring His disciples to a place where the slate was clean and religion was not the issue, but they had to settle some things down deep inside that really matter. I said, let's go to Caesarea Philippi. And He asked this pointed, very important question. The Bible says, He asked His disciples saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, when the Lord asked this question, it had its purpose. He said, whom do men, that word men is common men. What do people say? As you're out and you're listening and you hear, who do men say that I am? Oh, you know something? Men, for years, have been attempting to answer this question. You attempt to answer the question of who Jesus is without the Bible, and you'll find yourself in error. You attempt to answer the question of who Jesus is without faith, and you'll find yourself in error. But the Bible says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, the Lord's very specific. Whom do men, common men, say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, the Lord refers to Himself at this stage in our passage as the Son of Man. Something amazing about our Savior. He came to earth in humility. And His title of humility is the Son of Man. The Bible says He humbled Himself. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, some men said this, the Bible said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Now, that wasn't necessarily a slam. But if you compare Jesus Christ to any man, you've made Him far inferior to what He is. Can you imagine? I like to think about the comparison to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a man's man. I want you to just understand something. My Savior is not this effeminate character you see painted in pictures. I believe Jesus was a man's man. As a matter of fact, when common men looked on the Savior, they said that He reminds us of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a man's man. John the Baptist was a man that had authority and power. When John the Baptist spoke, people listened. Men said, maybe he's John the Baptist. As a matter of fact, it's very interesting to me. Herod, you remember Herod? Herod had a foolish night. He had had some dealings with John the Baptist, and his wife especially. His wife of sin despised John the Baptist because John the Baptist was the kind of man who called sin, sin. He told Herod, what you're doing is wrong. It's a sin. His wife was so mad. One night, Herod's stepdaughter danced before Herod and a group of men in a very foolish moment in his life. He said, you can have anything you want up to half the kingdom. The little girl consulted with her mother and said, I want John the Baptist's head in a charger. Herod had murdered John the Baptist. And when Jesus came on the scene, you know what he said? It's John the Baptist. It's John the Baptist. He's back. But I want you to know something. As wonderful as John the Baptist is, Jesus is not John the Baptist. He's far greater. John the Baptist was just to open the way to the Savior, the precursor to the Christ. Jesus Christ is not John the Baptist. He's far greater. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus asked. They said, some say John the Baptist. Some, Elias. Ooh, I like Elijah. I love the story of Elijah. Is it amazing or what? Elijah is quite the guy. And to be compared to Elijah would be a good thing. Elijah was a miracle-working prophet. It was Elijah that came to the little boy and his mother, and they were almost out of oil and almost out of meal. And Elijah said, fix me a cake first. The Bible says every time she reached in that empty pot, she pulled out a handful of meal. Every time she poured out of that cruse of oil, she got what she needed. I want you to be reminded of something. Our God is a providing God. And I want you to know something. You can trust Jesus with your physical needs. You can trust Jesus with your spiritual needs. The bottom line is you can trust Jesus. They saw Jesus and His miracles and they thought, He's like Elijah. They thought about Elijah sitting on the mountain. I like Elijah's spirit. I've got this idea. The king had sent 50 men, soldiers, to get Elijah. The king was so mad at Elijah. And Elijah called fire down from heaven. Boom. Snuffed those 50 men out. 50 more came. Elijah sitting there says, if I be a man of God, let fire fall. Boom. Another ball of fire. The third guy, he figured it out. He comes on his face to the prophet and says, have mercy on me. But they looked, men looked on Jesus in His life and His ministry, and they said, He's John the Baptist. No, He's Elijah. He's a miracle-working God. I want you to know something. He is. But to compare Jesus to any man is to make Him inferior. They said, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elias. The Bible goes on in verse number 14. And others, Jeremiah. They said He's like Jeremiah. To be likened unto Jeremiah is a compliment. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Do you know what they saw about our Savior? They saw a man like John the Baptist who was mighty and strong, who spoke with authority. They saw a man like Elijah who performed miracles and had the power of God. But they saw a man like Jeremiah also, a man who had compassion and a burden, who could laugh with folks when they laughed, cry with folks when they cried. They said he's like Jeremiah. But I want you to know something. Though those characteristics of our Savior are very true, He is a loving, compassionate Lord. To compare Jesus to any man is to be in complete error. Then they went on to say, and the Bible continues in this verse of Scripture, or one of the prophets. Oh, you know something? It is impossible to deny Jesus Christ in history. You can't deny it. If you sign a check today or date a piece of paper, you date it June the 9th. Is that right? The 9th? June 9th, 2013. The point of reference for the day in which we live is the life of Jesus Christ. He's written in the history books of every nation, every country, every world. There's a lot of people who know about Him, but very few people who know Him. You know what men say? They say lots of complimentary things. And you may be one of them. You say, I know who Jesus is. Yeah. He's like John the Baptist. He had great authority. Oh, I know who Jesus is. He's like Elijah, he performed miracles back in the Bible times. Oh yeah, I know who Jesus is. He's like Jeremiah. He was a compassionate, loving Savior. Oh, I know who Jesus is. He's like one of the prophets. I want you to know something. He is not one of the prophets. He is the King of the earth, the Savior of the world. And don't listen to what men have to say and neglect who Jesus really is. Those things are complementary, but they're not sufficient. Jesus asked this question, whom do men say that I am? And men say all kinds of stuff. But I want you to know something. Jesus was not so interested in what men had to say about Him. He continues His conversation. Look what the Bible says in verse number 15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. You know what? Peter got it right. Peter messed up a lot of things. And he hasn't even begun his serious mess-ups that come down the road. But he got this right. He got it right who Jesus is. He got it right who Jesus is. I like this verse. It says, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Oh, you know something. It does not matter what the world says about Jesus. It doesn't matter what your parents think about Jesus. It doesn't matter what your pastor thinks about Jesus. To you, the thing that matters is who do you know Him to be? If you can't call Him Lord and Savior and Master, then it is irrelevant. You see, Peter knew something. Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. If you want to be blessed of God, you must know who Jesus is. Peter knew it wasn't what men had to say that mattered. But look what the Scripture says in verse number 16. And Simon answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You could preach a series of sermons on that little phrase. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know who Jesus is? He's not some prophet. He's not some good man. He's not some person that's made just a stamp and an imprint on history. Peter said, I know who Jesus is. He is the Christ. The one and only. Who's the Christ? When we refer to our Lord, we ought to refer to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He is our Lord. If you have a Lord, some folks have landlords. That means that person lords over you. You are in subjection to that landlord. I am the Lord of my home. I don't make Ruth call me that. I don't think she would. But the truth of the matter is, somebody's got to be in charge. And so I'm the Lord of my home. I'm the Lord of my children. I'm afraid some parents are not. My children cannot lord over me. I must lord over my children. That means I'm in charge. I want you to know something. When I refer to my Savior, Jesus, He is my Lord. Why? Because what He says goes. And what He wants is what really matters. I put myself in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Lord Jesus. Jesus is His name. Jesus is His name. I had a hard time explaining the other day. Ian had got some cartoon or something, and he was reading the name, and it was Jesus. And he was reading that name. I said, he kept calling Him Jesus. I said, now, if you see that in somebody else's, somewhere else, it's not Jesus, it's Jesus. They use the H's. Did you hear a funny joke? There was this guy, a country boy in California, working with young people, trying to win them to the Lord, and doing his duty, going to be there a little while. And he had a list of names, and he was having a hard time reading the names. when he came to the list, he said, Josie, would you come up here? Juanita, would you come up here? And the list went on. There's a bunch of these weird names he couldn't figure it out. Well, this guy in compassion came up to him and said, hey, listen, we're in California, and there's a lot of Latinos around here, and you know those J's have an H sound, and when around here, those J's have an H sound. Like, it's not Jesus, it's Jesus. It's not Josie, it's Jose. And it's not Juanita, it's Juanita. And it's just a little bit different. The J's and H's aren't the same. And he said, oh, okay, I get it. A few days passed, and somebody came up to him, put their arm around, and said, now, how much longer are you staying with us? He said, ah, I'm going to leave sometime in Hoon or Hulai. He is Jesus. That's His name. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. Who's the Christ? For all of time, the Lord Jesus has had a plan of salvation. For all of time, there was hope for the sinful nature of man. For all of time, the prophets have preached that there's coming a time when there's going to be a Messiah, the Christ, who will come and set up His kingdom and offer salvation to anyone who will believe. And Peter said, you're not John the Baptist. He said, you're not Jeremiah. You're not Elijah. You're not one of the prophets. You're far better. He says, you are the Christ. And I want you to know something. Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the only hope for a dying world and the only hope for you. And if you want to be blessed of God, like Peter was, then you must know who Jesus is. It's irrelevant what men say. It's irrelevant. What the world says about Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus asked you this question, whom do ye say that I am? And our answer ought to be that you are the Christ. The Christ. The only way of salvation. My Savior, my Lord. And there had better been a time when you've confessed your sins and asked Him to forgive your sins and come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. You see, if you're going to be blessed of God, you must know who Jesus is. Not a head knowledge alone, but a heart knowledge. Trusting Jesus for your soul salvation. Peter was told by the Lord Jesus, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter knew who Jesus was. Look what the Bible goes on to say in verse number 16. Thou art the Christ, I love what he says, the Son of the living God. Not only is He the Christ, the Messiah, but He is God. Peter said, I understand that you're deity. I'm in the presence of deity. You may be God in the flesh, but I'm in the presence of deity. You're not just the Son of Man. You are the Son of God. And I like Jesus' answer. It brings us to our second point. Peter knew, it brings us to our first point and shows us how it works. Peter knew who Jesus was. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what Jesus says? Peter says, you're the Son of God. And Jesus answers him in a very interesting way. Verse number 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. This is the only place in the Scripture that Jesus refers to him as Simon Bar-Jonah. Do you know what that means? Peter says to Jesus, you are the Son of God. And Jesus answers back to Peter and says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Do you know what it means, Bar-Jonah? The son of Jonah. The son of Jonah. Bar means son. Jonah was his father's name. And Jesus, in affirmation of the fact that I am the Son of God, looks at Peter and says, blessed art thou, Simon, you son of Jonah. I've got your daddy right and you've got my daddy right. I'm deity in your flesh. You know what he says? You're blessed, Simon. Why? Thou son of Simon, Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. You're blessed. Why? He says, you're blessed because you know who I am. You're blessed because you know who I am. And it is impossible to be blessed of God without God. It is impossible to be blessed in this world and in this life without the Savior. Peter was blessed of God. Why? Because he knew who Jesus was. Number two, in the same verse, the Bible says in verse 17, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter was blessed because he knew who Jesus was, but number two, he was blessed because he was instructed by God. Look what Jesus says. He says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. What does he say? You're blessed because you know who I am, Simon Bar-Jonah, and you are blessed because flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. It just blows my mind that people could literally observe the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ and not trust Him. But it happened over and over again. The same people that Jesus healed one day were screaming at the top of their lungs, crucify Him, just a few days later. It blows my mind. But you know what happened to Peter? Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it. I personally believe that when Jesus is referring to the fact that flesh and blood hath not revealed it, that He was referring to Himself. That God in the flesh did not reveal that unto you, but God the Father has made it clear that I am the Christ, the Son of God. You know what God was speaking to Peter's heart? Now, this is scary for some people, but I want you to know something. God speaks to His children. God speaks with to His children. We have this opportunity to fellowship with God, and God guides us and directs us and leads us and comforts us. Peter had the kind of relationship with God that God revealed to him who Jesus really was. I want you to know something. You may be sitting here the first time this morning. God has shown you that you're lost. That you've not let Jesus have the preeminence in your life. Don't turn Him off. God is speaking to your heart. God is convicting you of sin. God is convicting you of the fact that you need to do better. You need to do more. You need to change. God is convicting you and speaking to your heart this morning that He's going to help you and He loves you. Don't turn off the Lord. Why was Peter blessed? Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because he knew who Jesus was. And number two, he was blessed because he was led by God the Father. It's no wonder we walk around like sheep having no shepherd. We neglect the two ways that God speaks to His people more than anything else. We neglect our time alone with God's Word. We neglect our time alone in prayer with the Lord. We should let God speak to our hearts. And if you're not taking time to let God speak to your heart, if you're not listening to the still small voice of God as He prompts you and convicts you and says no to that and yes to this, if you're not walking with the Lord, you'll never be blessed. Jesus said, Simon, you're blessed. Why? Because you know who I am. He says, Simon, you're blessed. Why? Because God the Father has revealed this great truth unto you. And it's just the beginning. When He reveals to you who Jesus is, that's just the beginning. God will walk with you and teach you and guide you and direct your path. And thirdly, blessed. Peter was blessed. Why? I believe Peter was blessed because he was introduced to the church. It's very fascinating that God includes this portion, this in His Word right here. He says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This is an interesting verse of Scripture. There's some confusion about it. There's two words here used for Peter. The Bible says that thou art Peter, and everyone knows that Peter's name means what? One, two, three? Rock. But Peter's name is like a pebble, a stone. You're a rock, you're a stone in God's army. It was not a slam, it was a compliment. But Jesus says, thou art Peter, a stone. He says, but upon this Petra. We talked on Wednesday night about the city of Petra. It was a rock-fortified mountain. And Jesus, I believe, referring to Himself, He says, you're Peter, the pebble, the stone. He says, upon this rock of Myself, I will build My church. I believe He was referring back to Himself. I believe He was referring back to the fact that He is the Christ, that He is the Messiah, that He is the Son of God. He says to Peter, upon this rock, I believe He's pointing to Himself, I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, I believe that it is impossible for us to be blessed of God without knowing who Jesus is. I believe it's impossible for us to be blessed of God without being instructed by God Himself and led by the Father. And I believe it's impossible for us to be blessed of God without this church principle. The church had not necessarily begun yet. But Jesus says, I will build My church. This was a familiar word, ekklesia. I'm not a Greek scholar, don't claim to be. But it literally means a called out assembly. These folks, the disciples had heard of this group. The Pharisees had their ekklesia. They gathered around together around the truth of that they were Pharisees and the truth of the Old Testament. The Sadducees had their ekklesia. It wasn't necessarily the church, but they had their group. They had their gathering. And they gathered around some common principles that we deny the resurrection. That was the Sadducees' group and their principles. But Jesus said, I will build My church. I will build My group. And we're going to found it on the rock of Me and the fact that I am the Christ, the Son of God. And He says, I want you to know something. The gates of hell will not prevail against My church. The gates of hell could very simply mean the passageway into death. Death will have no victory over the church of Jesus Christ. O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Some people like to think that the gates of hell were where people said it was common practice to sit at the gates and discuss business and discuss things that were seemingly important. Some people want to think that Jesus Christ was referring to the discussions of the world and the faith of the world and the ideas and ideologue of men. And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Either way, I want you to know something. The hope that is founded in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have now in our wonderful local church, this truth that Jesus is the Christ is the only way we can ever be blessed. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I have hope of eternal life. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I have an answer to the critics and the cynics. God has changed my life. Jesus has made a difference. And there's joy in my heart. And I'm happy in the Lord. Blessed. You know what God said to Simon? He makes this wonderful answer. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You cannot be blessed of God until you know who Jesus is. You cannot be blessed of God until you walk in fellowship with God the Father. And you cannot be blessed until you've accepted and embraced the principle of the church, that I need you and you need me, and we work together, we gather together around this great truth that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And if any of these relationships are awry and they're not right, you can mark the blessed away from your name. But if you'll get these relationships right, I believe Jesus can say, "Blessed art thou, Cody Sturgill. Blessed art thou," and you fill in the blank. "I want to be blessed of God. I want His blessing. But I'm wise enough to know that I can only have it His way." May we live in submission and surrender to our Savior today. Blessed art thou.